Today's daf from Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Vav. And we're holding at the last words, last lines, I should say, on Nun Hei Amud Beis. So remember that we had two separate parts of the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. One of them, back all the way in the Mishnah that was gerem all of this discussion, one of them was Benogea Hegdesh. Hegdesh that is mechulo b'meitzid, or hegdesh that is mechulo b'shogeg, that is used for being mekadesh anisha, and the other was referring to meiser sheni. And so far, what we've understood that the machlokas l'gabi meiser sheni was the question of whether meiser sheni is moman hedyot, or whether meiser sheni is moman gavaya. And if it's moman gavaya, so it doesn't belong to you to use for anything, and therefore can never be used for mekadesh anisha. The question was, what would be the difference? Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda holds its moment head yet. What would be the difference between the mezid and the shogeg? And we'd have to understand that as being a shaila of whether she would have wanted to be mekabel this kedushin for meiser sheni. So let's take a look a little bit more into the details of the situation of the meiser sheni. Tana Rabbana. In lokim behima, b'mo'ot ma'aser sheni. So first of all, the question is like this. I remember the ikar din. The ikar din, of course, is that you're supposed to bring your actual fruits, you bring them up to Yerushalayim, and you eat them in Yerushalayim. In the event that a person is unable to bring all of his things to Yerushalayim, so the Torah says, v'tzarta b'kesef, you can be mechalo the ma'aser sheni, and turn it into cash, and then bring the cash with you to Yerushalayim, and then utilize that cash. You can use it for anything that you'd like to use it for. And over there, we actually learn out from the pasuk that we'll be talking about that the same way that the Torah uses this lashon by Shlomi, the Samachta from Hashem Elokecha, the same thing is true of the Meiser Sheni, which means that a very chosh of a use of money of Meiser Sheni would buy to buy a behema and bring it as a garment shlami and to eat it in Yerushalayim and be v'samachta about the same way you would be with the shlami. But if you're outside of Yerushalayim, so over there the Torah specified v'tzarta b'kesef, so you need some actual, you need money in order to be mechalo b'meiser sheni, and it's not meant to be used to buy something that is edible now, but that then you'd have to take up this something to Yerushalayim. But what if you did? So you bought an animal with it, and you were over on using that money and for buying the wrong thing. So ve'im lakach, if you went ahead and you bought a behemah with Moshe Meiser Sheni, so then if you didn't realize that, then b'shogeg yachzeru tamim l'mekomam. So then it was a mekach ta'ut, because you never, I mean, imagine the situation. A guy has cash. He already had originally Meiser Sheni, and he was mechalel it on cash to be able to take the cash up to Yerushalayim. Now it turns out he bought an animal with the cash. Now what's he going to do? Bring the animal up. That's why he sold the Meiser originally, was that he should be able to have cash to bring up. So obviously, if he would have known that this was Meiser, he would never in a million years have bought anything with it. That's what he wanted, was the cash, to be able to make it easy for him to go to Yerushalayim. So in such a case, if it was b'shogeg, so then the entire mekach is bata, as is usually the case with a mekach ta'ut. So the whole thing was a transaction made in error, mekach ta'ut. But what if you knew that? And what if you took money and you wanted to do this? So then that behema that you bought, you're going to have to bring up to Yerushalayim, as it says, that ta'ale, you have to bring it up, elamakom, ba'makom, elamakom asher yivchar Hashem. Bring it up, v'teach ba'makom, bring it into that makom is Yerushalayim. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, but when do we say that if you use the money purposefully, that it would be chal? That's only where mitkavein, where you originally bought it in order to be able to bring it to Yerushalayim. V'lakach techila l'shem shlamim. It doesn't mean necessarily l'shem shlamim, but that's usually what you would do if you bring an animal in Yerushalayim. So it would be aliba the pasuk v'samachta l'fnei Hashem Elokech as a reference to using it as a korban shlamim, to eat the meat of a korban shlamim. Obviously, the Gemara doesn't mean The only time is where it was a shlamim, and that's time where you wanted to eat it as steaks. That's not the point. But if you had in mind, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you wanted to take it to Yerushalayim, but suppose somebody bedavka wanted to be machalal as Maaser Ma'aser Sheni, and he was going to use it as the chulin, he was going to make a barbecue with it outside of Yerushalayim. Avol b'mitkaven lo tziba ot Ma'aser Sheni lechulin, and he bedavka wanted to do an iser, and he would take it and eat it outside of Yerushalayim, and it's not meant as part of the avoda of the Ma'aser Sheni. So then it doesn't matter whether he knew that it was Ma'aser Sheni or not. Bein shogeg, bein mezid, then yachzeru damim limekoman. The seller has to basically give the money back, and he, for no reason, because there wasn't a mekachtot, so this is basically a knas that we're giving the seller for selling something for Ma'aser Sheni, where it was known that it was Ma'aser Sheni, and he shouldn't have done that. Later on, the Gemara is what asks why should we dafka make the seller lose over here? But the bottom line is that if he knew what he was doing, so then when it says ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid, what does that mean? I mean, if it's b'shogeg, how did he knew what he was doing? Obviously, the meaning of b'shogeg over here is that if the shogeg was about something which, if it was b'mezid, would have been a chilol Ma'aser Sheni on purpose, but it means if Bish didn't know it was Ma'aser Sheni, and he bought this animal for purposes of making a barbecue, or even if he knew it was Ma'aser Sheni and he bought it for those purposes. So if he didn't know, we already said, that's a mekachtos. I understand he never would have wanted to do that. But if he did know, so then we don't need the mekachtos to get the money back. The chachomim were koveya that the sale is batal, and the person has to restore the money, and he has no right to keep that money. Now, this is very strange, because these are two possibilities, neither of which represents the din in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says that Aliba de Rebbe Yehuda, if you use Ma'aser Sheni to be Mekadesh and Isha, Rebbe Yehuda said in that case that it's a good Kedusha. And over here, Rebbe Yehuda says, no, if you knew it was Ma'aser Sheni, so then there's this din that the whole thing is canceled. So then over here, since the woman is the one who sold the meat for the barbecue, so to speak, she is the meat. Right? She's the one who's selling herself. So we said if a guy sells an animal to someone for Moshe Ma'aser Sheni, he has to give the money back. So over here, she is a person who gave herself over the Kiddushin for Moshe Ma'aser Sheni on purpose. And Rabbi Yehuda says, in our Mishnah, it's a good Kiddushin. And here it says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a completely batel mekach. Kiddushin is a mekach. So why is the Kiddushin okay? And the mekach isn't okay. I don't understand what's going on. Omar Rabbi Elazar, because there's a fundamental difference. If the woman accepted this, and we said that it's b'mezid. If it was b'shogeg, so then Rabbi Yehuda already said, well, the woman would never have wanted to take money of Ma'aser Sheni after shlep to Yerushalayim. So therefore the kedushin would be batel. Okay, but if she knew, what did she intend to do with that money? Well, she knows that the Moshe Ma'aser Sheni is not going to become chulin because it was used for kiddushin. It's only going to become chulin when you use it to buy something to eat in Yerushalayim. So what did she intend to do with that money that you gave her for kiddushin? She intended to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it. So nobody did anything wrong over here. You gave it to her. If you hold that Ma'aser Sheni is Momon of Hedyo, the way Rabbi Yehuda holds, not like Rabbi Meir holds, it's a type of Kadesh, and you give it to a person who's going to be using it in Yerushalayim, then that's great. You gave her real value, and she understood that she has to take this value and bring it up to Yerushalayim. So why should we say the whole thing is batel? Nobody did anything wrong, and there was no mekachtos, and in this case, that's why she accepted the money. So why should we, we're going to give her a knas? Mashenkin, in the case where somebody sold an animal for somebody's barbecue. So over there, in that case, the animal that was purchased actually became Ma'aser Sheni. And this guy who sold him, because remember, the Kedusha goes off to whatever you call it or not. That means that the guy who sold him this animal for meat for a barbecue was involved in a transaction of Isser. And therefore, we give him the punishment of he needs to make it up and he needs to give the money back. And so later on, the Gemara is going to ask, why is he the one that's going to be punished? I mean, all he did was passively allow the guy to buy the animal. That we'll talk about. But in any event, in the case of the woman, it's a false assumption that she would have the same din as somebody who sold something to Isser. Why should we assume that anything was Be'isr? She knew that she has to go up to Yerushalayim and use it to buy something. Maskev Flor Reb Yirmiya. Is it because she knows, and therefore we assume that she's doing it right? So then how do you explain a case where somebody uses Moser Maaser Sheni to buy a behemoth Tmeah, so uses it to buy a non-kosher animal? Obviously, he can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah with that to go up and eat in Yerushalayim. He uses it to buy avadim. He's not going to eat the avadim. He uses it to buy real estate, the karkos. Where over there, everybody knows that you can't use Maaser Sheni for that. The Adam Yodea, She'in Ma'ot Ma'aser Sheni Mitchalalin Aleihem. So he knows that by selling his property or by selling his slave for this most Maaser Sheni, that the money is still considered to be Maaser Sheni. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, in that case, the person knows that that money is going to have to be taken up to Yerushalayim and used to eat something that is roi for Kedushas Maaser Sheni. I mean, that's what you say. The woman knows. So the same way the woman knows, the guy who sold him an Eved knows that the money that he got remains still Maaser Sheni, because it was never mischalal on an Eved. And even though he knows, it says beferish in the Mishnah, in Maaser Sheni, that ein lokhin beimat meyah avadim v'karkaot b'mod Maaser Sheni. And if he did, boy, am I confused now. And if he did, yochal k'negdan. So then you have to eat the equivalent amount as Maaser Sheni, according to what you had used the money. So let's say you paid $1,000 for an Eved. The $1,000 remains the Maaser Sheni because it wasn't Mechula on the Eved. And you have to go ahead as the guy who did the Isser and buy $1,000 worth of food and eat that $1,000 worth of food as Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Okay, exactly how does that become Maaser Sheni? So this is a big machlokas rishonim. So some learn that what you do is you take out $1,000 and you say the kedusha of the $1,000 that I gave to that person to sell me his eved, I am mechalel on this $1,000, and then you take that $1,000 to Yerushalayim, and then the other person who sold it to you, his maaser is mechula. The question is, how is a person able to be mechalel money that is not his anymore? He gave it to that guy, and we had before, when we were talking about making something kodesh or doing a pidyon, that you have to have a dovar b'rishutho. You have to have a possession of it, and over here you don't. So ein achinami. Some learn that, of course, you can't do that. It's ridiculous. It's just that Chazal gave you a knas that you have to pretend to be doing that. That you have to go and spend that $1,000 and go up to Yerushalayim, but it's not that you're really going to be able to take off the kedusha of the Maaser Sheni. But actually, Tosfos brings the shita of the Rabbeinu Meir that if something is obviously l'tova of the other person, and over here the guy who sold it to you would be very happy to get rid of the status of Maaser Sheni on the money that he took, so over there you could be mezakeh him by going and acting as if you were a shliach to do it for him. In any event, whatever the mechanism is, this is extraordinary. We've got completely different dinim depending on the case. So in one case, we said the mekach is batal because he never should have sold it to you. In another case, we have a mekach is batal because it was the b'shogeg and therefore no one would have wanted to do it. That's this case. And in another case, we're saying that what it is that it's actually would be okay. That was the case of the Isha. If he is assumed to know the din, and then he could go up and he could take care of it. I didn't understand. When do we apply what halacha? These are like completely different dinim for the different cases. So how do you explain why it is that in the Kiddushin we're going to make the assumption, yes, the woman knows, and therefore since she knows, she obviously is going to go up to Yerushalayim. But in the case where he sold him an Eved, then even though he knows, we're assuming people know, because you assume the woman knows, see, he knows you can't be Mechalel the money on his Eved, but we don't say he intended to go up to Yerushalayim. And instead, sometimes we say the sale is batel because he gave him a knas. Other times we're saying now that you have to go ahead and take $1,000 out to make up for it and try to be mechalel it, or according to the other Rishonim, at least pretend you were mechalel it, and it's your knas, and you have to make it up, so to speak, by not gaining from what it is that you did by Israel, however one understands it. But it certainly does not allow us to simply say that because this woman knows that she is not going to be the source of the chilal of Maaser Sheni, that she took it only to eat Yerushalayim, because we do not apply that to other cases where people know. So this is completely confusing. What's the halacha? And how do we explain Rabbi Yehuda by Kiddushin? Says the Gemara, you're right. We cannot make an assumption that because people in general know the halacha. People in general don't know the halacha. So maybe this guy who sold him the Eved didn't realize that the Moz Maaser Sheni is going to still remain Moz Maaser Sheni. He didn't realize he had to go up to Yerushalayim. But what we're talking about over here is Bedavka, an Isha Chavera Askinan. We're talking about a woman who grew up in a family of Talmidei Chachamim, and she herself has learned all of the halachas, and she knows precisely what the din is. And because of that, we can assume that she, diyada, she knows that this money remains Maaser Sheni, despite the fact that it was used for Kiddushin, and therefore intentions are to go up and to utilize them as Maaser Sheni. If you're finding it hard to concentrate because of the situation, I just want to point out to you that there are two very important, okay, Barney, I see. There are two very important nekudas that we need to keep in mind. One is, you know, there's reports that when the Girush of Sfarad, the date of the Girush was Tisha B'Av. And the fact that it was Tisha B'Av was the final date for leaving Spain that year, people gained a tremendous amount of chizuk, because they saw if it's Tisha B'Av, so obviously this is part of the Xeris of Tisha B'Av. If we see that these events, they occurred on Shmini Atzeres, which is the day that we expected that there would be such a thing, that would be Mavdil ben Yisrael Amim, and begin the process of the conclusion of all of this nonsense and everything that happened during Sukkot, where we were involved in the Yom HaSa'ilam. This is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates us from the Amim completely. That's a tremendous gilui, and it should give everyone the chizuk of knowing that this is a process, no matter how painful it is, it's the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi aleihem melech kasha kahaman v'Yisrael oisim teshuva. But there's another remez, and that is that over the course of the years, Shmini Atzeres became Simchas Torah because of Yisrael's commitment to Torah. That's also a remez. Remember that Ein Lanu Shiur Ela HaTorah Hazos. And no matter what state of avelus a person finds himself in, the nechama and the ultimate hope of Yisrael is to be more mizdabik to Torah. But therefore, the more that you feel it difficult to be able to put your mind into it, to concentrate, the greater is the sachar and the nechama that comes of concentrating bedavka in these days, bedavka concentrating on the Liman HaTorah, the Simchas Torah aspect, and it goes hand in hand with the Shmini Atzeres aspect. Did you raise a hand on purpose, Daniel? Okay.
Just wanted to say that Fatemet said that Shmini Atzeres is against Yediyah, all the Hagim, all the Regalim, is a negative Reiyah, but the purpose is to come to the knowledge, so we, you know, see much more.
Excellent. Okay, beautiful. That's the last words that we just learned, the Yada'ah, that the Eish HaSchaver, she knows, because she knows the Dinim. Okay, so now, if that's the case, you said that this is a new option. Okay, what's the new option? Im lakach yuchal kenegdan.
Sorry, sorry, Rabbi, could you maybe just catch me up? My mind's completely not being in it. Can Rabbi just catch us up, or at least me, when we hold in, so I can be with it?
Yes, certainly. Okay, so remember that we had our machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about utilizing Maaser Sheni to be Mekadesh Anisha. So according to Rabbi Meir, you cannot ever use Maaser Sheni to be Mekadesh Anisha because it doesn't belong to you. So how can you give somebody else's money? Obviously, it's no Kiddushim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Maaser Sheni is Momon Hedya, so what we said was, if this was done by accident, so then it's obviously no one in his right mind would have wanted to accept Kiddushin that was Maaser Sheni money, because now they're going to have to schlep to Yerushalayim. They're going to say, get out of here. You want to be Bekadesh me? Give me something that I can use. But if it was done knowingly, so then it's okay. That was how the whole thing started. Now, the question over here is that we had today is, what is the din, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in a case where somebody used the Maos of Maaser Sheni to buy something that he's not allowed to use Maaser Sheni for? Now, you're obviously not allowed, lechatchila, to use the Maaser Sheni. So it says over here that in the event that it was an accident, so then everything is fine. It's a mistake. We cancel the whole deal, exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah. That makes sense. But if you did it b'mezid, then you have to go up and eat whatever the meat is that you bought. And Rabbi Yehuda said that this is dafka if you knew that you were buying it in order to eat in Yerushalayim. But if not, then the entire sale is batel, even if you knew what you were doing. And that would be that Chazal were koveya, that the person who sold it has got to give the money back. So the problem was, if woman is the person who sold it, so to speak. She sold herself for purposes of Kiddushin. And we said that if a person sells an animal for purposes of a barbecue, Reb Yehuda, who is the one who says that Kiddushin is good, says that the sale is not good. So why by the Kiddushin is the sale good? The sale bigger itself for the Kiddushin, correct? And we answered because of the fact that this woman knows that the sale is not going to be mechalo, the money of the miser, and therefore she accepted this money in order to go up to Yerushalayim and to use it the way it's meant to be used. So nobody did anything wrong. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the money is yours. Okay, so I'm a kaddish as a isha. You didn't use it for something that is anti the use of miser sheni, because the woman obviously knows she has to eat it in Yerushalayim, and she was mekabelet on that das. So why is it, asks the Gemara, that and when somebody sells something that they know perfectly well is not going to be mechala the most Maaser Sheni, like he sells real estate or something like that, and we said in the Mishnah that the halacha is that if that's done, then the person who utilized the Maaser Sheni has to buy the equivalent amount, set aside the equivalent amount of money, whatever it was, make it the Maaser Sheni, either by being mechalal the other person's money on it or whatever, or stam as a knas, go up to Yerushalayim and spend it on food. Now, so how come, why don't we say that, why don't understand? If a person sold me an Eved, he knows the money is still going to be Maaser Sheni, so he must have accepted the money the way the woman over here accepted the money. That the intent was, I take the money and I'm going to go up to Yerushalayim. So why are we making now this new halacha that you, the person who gave them the money, has to set aside the money, right? So far, so good? Okay, so we answered that, okay, you're right. We actually misrepresented the sheet of Rebbe Elazar. He doesn't mean that anybody who knows that something is, people don't know. But in this particular case, this woman was a very knowledgeable woman. She was an Isha, was a Chavera. So therefore, we don't get into all of these problems, because if she was a chaveran, she accepted the condition. Obviously, the case in our Mishnah is not going to introduce all of the complications, and what if you didn't know that it was usur, and that Mishnah's talking about a case where we could strip it down to the essentials. Stripped down to the essentials, the question is a very simple, direct question. If you used Maaser Sheni and the woman knew it was Maaser Sheni, nobody did anything wrong, is that a good Kiddushin? And the answer is yes, if they knew, that's all. So therefore, this case is not comparable to those other cases. Clear so far? So now our Mishnah is understandable. Well, what isn't understandable is what the heck is going on. We've got these three separate results for the same exact din. In the one hand, we said, everything's fine. Okay, so we answered that by saying, well, it's talking about a special case where she knows. In the other hand, we said, Chazal give you a knas. The whole sale is bottle, even though you knew exactly what you were doing. The guy should never have sold it to you. Bad boy. The money goes back. You don't own the Eved. The whole thing is canceled. And now we've got a third option. You take money. Be pretend to be Mechalal, or do actually be Mechalal, according to Rabbeinu Meir. Whatever the case is, be Mechalal the money on it. Take that equivalent amount of money and go up to Yerushalayim. When do we apply which halacha? I thought we canceled the sale. So why are we telling you to set aside money? Just go and give the Bevet back and get your money back. What the heck's going on? The Amai, asks the Gemara. Why does it say over here a new idea? Now we're introducing yet a third option, Yochal Kenegdam. The Amai, Yachzeru Dam Avlum Mekomam Kiyatam. Didn't we just say that if you bought this animal for use as a barbecue, right, that the din is that the wholesale is bottled, and if you bought an Eved, so we should say the same thing. The wholesale is bottle. Instead, we said that you should take $1,000 and go up to Yerushalayim and eat Maaser Sheni with it. What happened? Omar Shmuel, obviously, this case is talking about we don't have that option of canceling the sale, giving the Evid back, and taking your money back. Why don't we have the option? The guy took his money and runs. Kishabarach, he ran away. So he was there in order to collect money by doing Isurim. And he collects the money from people who are illegally using their Maaser Sheni. And then before the Beis Din can get to him to force him to give the money back, the guy leaves town. That's what it's talking about. Okay, fine. Now, so I understand. If you can cancel the sale, that's what we do. If the guy's not around to cancel the sale, then you set aside money and you eat it in Yerushalayim. But I don't understand, what's the din if he didn't run away? Why do we say that we cancel the sale and he loses the money? Why don't we always? That's actually made a great deal of sense. Who's the guy that did something wrong? You. I mean, you went ahead and you took your money. You're the active partner over here in this transaction. So why don't we actually force you to take that extra money and go to Yerushalayim under all circumstances? Why do we put a knas on the seller? I don't quite understand. So can I understand that, please? You're telling me the only reason that the person who bought the Eved has to take that $1,000 and go up to Yerushalayim is because the seller ran away. But what would be if he hadn't run away? Then the seller would be the one who has to give the money back. Why is that? I understand. Why are we going after him? Why don't we go after you? You're the one who spent the money. So this sounds like a great option. Somebody spends money illicitly, a Maaser Sheni, make him take the equivalent amount of money, go up to Yerushalayim and eat. Why would we say you get your money back, give back the Eved? Hello, Barak. So in other words, if the guy who sold the Eved to you had not run away, we would have gone to him and Katsina Lemocher. Why? Makes more sense to always make the guy who used the money to buy illicitly, let him go and suffer by taking the same amount of money and going up to Yerushalayim. Why should we put it on the seller? Well, you know, when we're talking about mice in the house, it's the mouse hole that's the real ganav. Because if that mouse didn't have a good mouse hole to hide the cheese in, it never would have taken the cheese. So therefore, if you took the cheese, in this case, the cheese being the Eved, by buying that Eved, then that seller is effectively the mouse hole. And you are the mouse, you jerk. But anyway, if you hadn't had a good mouse hole, you wouldn't have been able to do anything. So lavach baragana velachuragana. Wait a minute. I never saw mouse holes managing to steal cheese without a mouse. I think the mouse is pretty important to this process. And you, being the mouse, has brought the money to the seller to buy the Eved. I still don't understand. Why are we going after the mouse hole and not after the mouse? So, Eloach Barav, you don't have a mouse. What good is having a mouse hole? Chura Maika of it. Can't blame the mouse hole for everything, can you? Well, as we've said before, it's Mistavra, the Kolecha de Ike Isura Asam Kansina. In other words, you have two people that are involved, both of whom are necessary in order to create a situation of Isra. When you're going to go after one of them, the one you should go after is the person who is currently has the Isser in his hand, and that Isser is the Meister Sheni that was never Mechulal on the Eved that he used to buy the real estate, and now it's in this guy's safe deposit box, that's where to go after it. And therefore, you're right, 100%, the mouse is a bad mouse too, but the place to go for the Knas is where the Isser is currently located, and therefore we go after the seller. If he's not available, then we'll go after the mouse. And I'm looking for Sir Richard.
Squeak, squeak.
Okay, let's hear more than a squeak if you're going to give us a good rendition. Jonathan, get out of the way because Doc, you did, very smart.
Doc's all the way on the other side.
No, that's because you're using your iPad. You don't even know the danger that you're in. Go ahead.
Believe me, I know the danger I'm in.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so now moving on in our perek, which is focused on the das and the values of the things that are going to be used for the kiddushin. What if you use isurei hana'a? So there's a lot of things that are usur b'hana'a, and something which is usur b'hana'a is not considered to have monetary value. So somebody uses, let's say, Orla. Now, each one of these cases, the Gemara is going to go through what the Mekor is in the Torah that this is, in fact, Isurei Hana'a. So let's go through it. You used Orla. You used Kiloi HaKeren. You used the Shor HaNiskal where the Bezdin had Paskin that we have to stone this shor. It killed or was used for sexual purposes. Or Egla Arufa, which is used for a case where we find somebody who was mugged and murdered, so you have to bring an Egla Rufa. That Egla Rufa, where we break its neck from behind, you cut its neck from behind, that is Asur B'Hana'a. Tzipore Mitzora. Remember that a Mitzora, in order to become Tahora, or Tahor, has to bring first two birds. And those two birds, one of them is Shechtin, with Eitzeres, Ve'ezoiv, and Shnitolas, and the other one, I'm going through the dinim because these dinim are all going to be nogea in the Gemara itself. And then you dip the living bird, into that. And we then, after sprinkling, we send it out to freedom. So we have one bird that was shechted and one bird that is called a shiluach. It's very similar to the din of the dinim of Yom Kippur. We're over there, we have two animals, the Shnei Seirim. One of them is the Mishlachat, so to speak, which is sent La'azazel, and the other one, which is used for a korban. Sa'ar Nazir, that's the din that the hair of the Nazir, after the Naziris, when it's cut, becomes Osir Bana'a. Peter Hamor, where over there the halacha is that you have to be paid in, and if you're not paid in, it also is the equivalent of an Arufa, you have to break its neck. And it's Osir B'Hana'a. Basar B'Cholav, remember that the Torah repeats the din of Basar B'Cholav three times. One of them is to teach me the din that it's also Osir B'Hana'a, not only B'Achila, we'll see other limudim. Chulin, Shinishkatu B'Azara, somebody brings a non-Kodesh behema into the Beis HaMikdash, and he shechts it there. So we learn out from a pasuk that is Osir B'Hana'a. Any of these cases that's given to a woman to be mikudeshet, she's not mikudeshet, because it's not money. But if the person sold these things, which he wasn't allowed to do, then the money that he gets from having sold them are not osur b'hana'a. That would be called tofeset et damea, like shvius, right? Tofeset damea, something that is exchanged. The reason we bring this up, the entire story that we've been talking about until now of the Meister Sheni, that would involve us in precisely that kind of thing. Because if you exchanged it, then that thing became Meister Sheni. So here you might think that if you exchanged Isurei Hana'a, like Orla, you sold it for cash, then that cash becomes Osir, and you could not use the cash to be Mekadesh Anisha. Not true. Orla, Tzipori Mitzora, Sar Nazir, Peter Hamor, Basar B'Cholav, none of these things are Toivsim Ezdama, and therefore the Kiddushin is perfectly okay, even though you got that money through utilizing Isra Hana. Okay, all of this now, we're going to go through the Gemara, to explain to us how do we know all of these dinim. So let's take a look first, Ba'orla Minola. How do we know that Orla is Asur Bahana'a, and therefore the Kedushin is Batal? The Tanya. Arelin lo ye'achel. So if the Torah had simply said, Kitavo ala oretz, unetatem kol etz ma'achal, shalosh shanim, yelachem arelim, lo ye'achel. Now all of that is part of the pasuk. Well, if that's all it would have said, then that would have meant you can't eat it. Ein li ala isra achila. But how do I know that there's also an isra hana'a? Let's say that you have Orla and you want to be nene by going ahead v'yitzbaba. Maybe it's a dye stuff. It's a type of fruit that you can use for dyeing. Or it's a fruit that has oil and you can use it for lighting a lamp. Talmud Lomar. That's why the introduction of the pasuk, instead of simply saying, Shalosh shanim yelachem arelim lo yeachel, it says, Va'araltem arlato et pirio. What is that supposed to mean? Araltem et orlato et pirio. What does that add? That's exactly what it's coming. L'rabot et kulam. Any type of hana'a, all of it that has to do with the paras of Orla, is all osir. B'kaloi hakerem. How do we know kaloi hakerem? Remember what that means, is that you planted in a vineyard. Other minim, we had the big machlokas. Does that mean that you have to actually plant the vineyard with two other minim, b'mapolet yad, or is it only even, where you simply planted a vegetable in a vineyard and then that vegetable becomes usher? Okay, whatever the din is, it says, b'feresh in the pasuk, lo tizrakar mechakilayim, pen tigdash hamlea hazera asher tizravet vatakara. What does that mean, pen tigdash? If you do it, you know what's going to happen? It will be tigdash. What does that mean, tigdash? Omar Chizkiah, that lashon pen tigdash is basically understood as forget about ever using it, because tigdash is tukad esh. It's the equivalent of being burned by a fire. That's all that you're going to be able to do with it. You cannot use it. Ravashi says, why learn it like that? Why not say pen tigdash means just what it says? It will become the equivalent of Kadesh, which is Asur Bahana'a. So it means Pen Yeh Kadesh. Why do we have to take and make it basically this contraction of Tukdash Tukad Esh? Says the Gemara, because Rav Ashi doesn't make sense. If it's true that the Pasuk is saying that when something becomes Asur as Orla, it becomes the equivalent of Kadesh, so then what would be the din? And it's Badafka Nogeya this Mishnah. What would be the din if you sold the Orla? Then it would be the same thing as selling Kodesh. What's the din if you sell Kodesh? Kodesh is tofes et damav. So the money that was used to exchange it is now also asur as Kodesh. And the actual Kodesh becomes mutter, which is the exact opposite of what our Mishnah said. The Orla remains asur, but if you sold the Orla, the money that you get in exchange for it does not become usher, and you can use it to be Mekadosh HaSayisha. So our Mishnah basically shows that Ravashi's interpretation of Pen Tugdash is wrong. Because Ima Kodesh Tofeset Tamav Yotzei L'chulin, Av Kiloi HaKerem Tofeset Tamav Yotzei L'chulin. And that is exactly what the Mishnah is saying is not the case. Ela Machvarta K'nechizkiah. It's best that we stick with the limit of Chizkiah. Pen to Gdash is meant to be understood as pen to Kad Eish. Shor HaNiskal. How do we know Shor HaNiskal is Asur Bahana'a? Minai. Detanya. It says in the Pasuk something that doesn't make much sense. It says, Sokol Yisakel HaShor and Lo Ye'achel Et Bisoro. Now, why do I need to know you can't eat its meat if I just stoned it? Of course I can't eat its meat. It's an avela. So mi mashmash ne'emar sakoi sakel ashar eni yodea shenevelayi unevela asura ba'achila. Why would the Torah add, don't eat it? So ma tabad lomar lo yachel et b'saro. It already told me I'm not allowed to eat nevela. This comes to tell me. Magid lecha she'im shechato liachin shenigmar dino asura ba'achila. There's two different dinim. First of all, ashar yisakel. Secondly, suppose you grab it after the Besdin says, we are going to stone this shor. So the owner grabs the shor, and he shechs it. Ha ha! Now I turned it into barbecue before you got a chance to mess it up. Ah, that's coming to tell me that you still can't eat it. So if you took it and you shechted it, it's still asur b'achila. Okay, but our Mishnah says it's more than asur b'achila. Our Mishnah says it's asur b'hana'ah. How do we know that it's asur b'hana'ah? Because the Torah adds a very strange word, Baal Hashar Naki. From what do you mean he's Naki? It means he been done sheer cleaned out. This guy has been any type of usage that he might have had from it, he loses it. We cleaned him out. And that means that it's also Asur Bahana'ah. My mashma, how does the Baal Hashar Naki mean that? Says Shimon ben Zoma. Well, what do people say when somebody's lost everything? Man, this guy made an investment and he's left with nothing. He got out of this, cleaned out of everything he ever owned. Okay, so we use that even today. And therefore, the Torah is good for saying, Baal Hashar Naki, he's got no value left at all. And therefore, you cannot use it to be Mekadosh HaSayisha or any type of Hana'ah because it isn't worth anything. That's the point. Ein lo b'hem Hana'ah, shel klum. Now, I just don't understand how you know that it's talking about lo ya'achel b'saro, don't eat it. It's talking about a case where you shechted it before it was stoned. Maybe it's talking about actually where you did stone it and where you shechted it before the Beis Din got to killing it, maybe it would be mutter. And the reason that it says lo ya'achel is dafka where it was stoned. So you'll say, well, I don't need the pasuk to tell me if it was stoned. Wasn't that the whole point? Ah, because, I'll tell you why. It would be going Aliba Rabbi Abo Amar Rabbi Elazar. The Amar Rabbi Abo Amar Rabbi Elazar, wherever we find in the Torah, the Lashon of Lo Yochal, Lo Tochal, Lo Tochlu, that always includes both Isra Achila and an Isra Hana'ah. And the proof of the pudding is Dafka from the Din of Nevela. Because the Torah, when it asered a nevela, so it says you're not allowed to eat lo tochal kol nevela, but what you do with it is you can sell it to the nochri, right? Or you can give it to the ger asher b'sharecha. What does the Torah have to tell me that? Because it's coming to tell me you shouldn't think that when I said lo tochal kol nevela, that you are actually usher in having any ana'ah. Therefore, I'm telling you, no, you can have an hour. You can put it up for sale. You can take the money. You can do whatever you want. So then that means that if it wouldn't have been that the Torah let you know that, you would have assumed that it was Aser even Bana'ah. From there, says Rabbi Elazar, you see that unless the Torah specifically says that something is mutter, if it said that you can't eat it, then that eating means any type of consumption, whether it's through actual achila or whether it's through utilizing it for anything else, using its light, using it as fuel, using it as value to sell it, all would be included. So, echad yisur achila, v'echad yisur hana'ah, ad shiyipareit lecha katuv, kederech shepireit lecha benevila. So, unless it says specifically otherwise, then it would be actually coming to tell you an Isra Hana'ah. So maybe that's the point. You can learn it directly from these words. In which case, that over here, it does not mean that you shechted it before. Maybe if you shechted it before, it wouldn't be a nevela. And maybe if you shechted it before, then ein achinami. It would have been kosher. And over here, you're telling me, but I know it's a nevela. Yeah, you know it's a nevela. But a nevela is mutter b'ana'ah. Therefore, the Torah says over here, lo ya'achel, to tell me this kind of nevela, where it was stoned, is actually osur b'ana'ah. But that's only if it was stoned. How do you know that it's talking about that even if you shechted it properly before it was stoned? So I don't understand your limud, says the Gemara. It's obvious what the limud is. If you're learning the Isser Achila from the words lo ya'achel, so then you're 100% right that the lo yachel, unless it specifies otherwise, includes an isra hana'ah. But over here, Think about what you're saying. You're saying, why does it say don't eat it? I already know it's a novella and I can't eat a novella. Must be it said don't eat it to teach me don't be nene from it. Now think about that. Does that make sense? If the only reason the Torah is saying don't eat it is because you already know you can't eat it and it's coming to tell you not to be nene from it, then just say don't be nene from it. I mean, I understand that it's very efficient to say don't eat, and the eating includes both eating and hana. But over here, I don't need to say don't eat. And if the only point in saying it is bedafka, Alon, you're not concentrating, sweetheart. Alon. Oh, boy. Yeah, I should have set up those electrodes to be able to give the shocks. All right. Maybe the electrodes do work. Who knows? Okay. I'm sure that Trevor would be very happy to set up those electrodes for me. He's long been dreaming about giving you a punch in the rear. All right. So therefore, in this case, it would be a bit silly to say the Lo Yachel is not coming to tell me it's Rechila at all, which I already know. It's only coming to tell me it's Rana, then it should have said so. So but over here, we would be knowing the Yitzrachila from the very fact that it's Sako Yisakel, in which case the repetition of Lo Yachel would only be coming to tell me in Yisra'ana'a. So Yisakadaitik Yisra'ana'a Dichtiv, let it say so. Nichtov Kro Lo Yaneh. Or even in the event, Inami, let's say that we would be willing to go along and say that Lo Yachel means the Isra Achila. All right. I don't think it makes sense, but let's say we're ready to accept it. But then why would it say Lo Yachel at Bissaro? Does it say Lo Yachel? It's nothing with the Basar. So it must be coming to tell me that even if he shechted it, turning it into Basar, meaning he's got these beautiful packaged steaks now. Somebody says, wait a minute. Where'd you get those steaks? Well, it was supposed to be a Shor HaNiskal, but I got there first, right? So that's what it's coming to tell me. Even though it looks like nice packaged Richie's supermarket steaks, afal pikein, it would still remain usher. So even if we're ready to utilize the Lo Yachel in that way. Maskif Lamar Sutra. Hold on a minute. I got an interesting case for you. Suppose you shechted it by stoning it. Never thought of that one, right? So what do? You take a stone. You find like a really sharp, smooth stone. You make it all ready to be like a sharp, smooth stone. And
a flint knife.
Yes, but it's bodak tzor. Suppose you actually made it into a knife. So then would it be called an even anymore? Is it a kli? That's why I did not want to say that case. So over here, you found a stone that is all ready for shrita. And then you go and you bang it with that stone right as a good sheikhet would. So you say, okay, I sakold yisakel the shar. But it's not an avela. So then it looks like a regular shrita, as regular skila, right? So maybe in that case, when do we say that it's usser? That's talking about a case where you actually did the skila. You say, what do we need to say it for? If it was a skila, it's certainly kosher. It's certainly a novella. Not true. I did a skila and it's not a novella. How do you like that? I'm a pretty smart sheikh. Remember, we had back in Chulin that if somebody shechs a flying bird by shooting it with an arrow that's been all and he gets it straight across the throat and the arrow was sharp and was checked to be a kosher shechita knife, that would be a wonderful shechita, right? So this guy's pretty good. So he knows how to do the shechita as a skila. That's why the Torah says, maybe, that's why the Torah says that it's usher ba'achila, because it was so cold. But maybe if you actually used a regular knife to shecht it, maybe the whole thing would be mutter, because it only says ashor yisakel and lo yachel. So maybe if I shecht it normally, it could be okay. Now we're back to where we started from. How do we even know that it would be not kosher if shecht it? No, says the Gemara, listen. The Torah has no play at all with the word a knife. The Torah never said to use a particular thing for shechita, right? You'd be right. If there was a place where it says specifically that you need to use a knife for Shechita. Then I would say, okay, you're right, that we need to have a pasuk, that in this case, where you shechted it with the tzur, which was an act of skila, that nonetheless it's considered to be trip. But that, I mean, like, you can't just throw in an idea that comes out of your own mind. Maybe there's a difference between a knife and a stone. Mide sakin b'oraita k'tiv. It doesn't say anywhere. And not only does it not say it anywhere, l'chatchila, we see clearly in this brisa, that you'll remember from Shechtin, from Chulin, b'kol sheichatin, bein b'tzur, bein b'skuchit, bein b'krumit shokana. You find a rock, you find a piece of glass, you find even a sharp-edged reed. You could use any of that for Shechita as long as it's perfectly smooth. That's fine. Okay, so now you're telling me that we could know Isra Achila and Isra Hana from Lo Ye'achel, right? At least according to the Shita that you just said, according to Rabbi Abo. So we would know that. So how would he explain Ba'al Ashor Naki? If I already know that it's Osir both Ba'achila and Ba'ana'ah, why does it say the guy was cleaned out? Ah, because the Lo Ye'achel et Bisaro, mashma, only the meat is usher. How about if this guy who's sure is going to be Niskal and Bezden decides, well, at least I'll make some money out of it. I'll sell its wonderful skin and we'll make 1,000 little purses out of that skin and we'll sell them for $20 a piece on the corner in Italy where women will pay and everything will be great. I'll have all my money because it only says don't eat the busser. So I would have thought, but if it comes, Bisaro is Asr, but Oro is Mutter. Therefore, I need to know Lahana'at Oro. It's coming to tell me that even the skin is Asr. Okay, but, you know, I got another question for you. Not everybody agrees that Ba'al Ashor Naki means that he is cleaned out of his Nechasim. There are those Tanoim who learn, this is a Machlokas above a comma, and they say, how do we know that someone who's Shor Tam, he doesn't pay any dinim of kofar. Remember, if somebody has a shor mu'ad that killed, he has to pay kofar. According to one madiomer, that's his own value of his life to be sold as an eved. According to the other, it's the value of the person who was killed. But whatever it is, he has to pay. So you would have thought that if you have a shor tam that killed someone, that then you would pay the same way that when it comes to damages, you pay chatzi nezek, half of the damage. When it comes to kofar, you pay half of the kofar. Comes along the Torah, therefore, to say Ba'al Ashor Naki, there's no din of kofar at all. So what about according to that Mandi Omar? Or that we need Ba'al Ashor Naki from telling me that in the event that a shor attacks a pregnant woman and she loses her fetus, that there's no din of Dmei Vladot, which would be the case if people were fighting and they hit a pregnant woman. So Ba'al Ashor Naki means there's no din of paying chatzi kofar. There's no din of Dmei Vladot. So according to him, we don't have this pasuk. So to tell me, Ba'al Ashor Naki, for not making beautiful Italian purses. So Hana'at Oro min Alu. So how do they know, in fact, that there's an Isra of Hana'at Oro? Ah, beautiful. It says Et Bisaro. Remember that extra word, Et? Always means that which is ancillary to. So it's what is ancillary to the buzzer? The skin. So it's coming to tell me that the hide is the same. So et atafel libisaro. And what about the Mandi Omar who learns the use of this wazdafka to tell me you can't use the or because Ba'al Ashor Naki? So what does he do with the word es? Es lo darish. He does not hold of using the word es as a limud at all. And this was the famous, beautiful braisa of Kiritanya. Shimona Amsuni. Some say it was Nehemiah Amsuni. Hayadoresh kol etim shabatorah. Every time, starting at the beginning, every time that he saw the word et, he would say the word et has a double meaning, besides being a just general preposition that doesn't have an English equivalent, but implies a relationship between the object and the verb. But it also, since it sometimes is used and sometimes not, it extends the object. And therefore, it comes to include something else. And he went through for years and years going over all of the Essim in the Torah. But then he came to a pasuk and he said, oh my God, I've obviously made a terrible mistake. And he comes, he's finally in Devarim. He managed to get through all Arba Chumashim. He gets to the pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tirah. Oh my God. What could be ancillary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That would be blasphemy. I've been making a terrible mistake. Obviously, I misunderstood S, and it's meant only as a preposition and not as an extension of the object. I can extend HaKadosh Baruch Hu into anything else. I changed my mind, take it all back. His Talmidim, who've been learning over here for 20 years with him, Rabbi, oh no, please. We just spent 20 years, we've written 15 Sfarim on this, we've memorized it, we had Moshe Forman making Anki cards, we've been going nuts to remember every S in the Torah, what is it adding? And now you're telling me, forget it? No, please, tell me you lie. And what's going to be? Rebbe, kol esin shedarashtam, ata elim, what are we going to do with all of those esim? It's impossible. Amar lehem, what's the problem? Kishem shekibalti sachar ala derisha, kach kibalti ala prisha. The same, what, you have invested? You've got vested interests now. Well, interesting. Now, S has got to mean something. Why? Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to mean something, because you want it to mean something. No, sir. So you're saying, but it's so painful. How can I let go? That's the whole point, said Shimon Amsuni. The same pain that you invested in discovering the meaning of all of these essences, the more you invested, the more difficult it is to uninvest, right? So all of that amazing investment, you'll have schar for all of it, because it's just as harder to let go according to the amount of the investment as the investment you put in. So what are you upset about? It was the S that mattered. Or was the Chibur to Torah and Teilam Abba and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that matter? No problem.
Maybe if it's Nechemya, it fits very well because it's being Menachem and it's changing. And
okay. So Kishem, that's the Diyak and the Kishem. The same extent, it's proportionate. The same extent of the investment is the Sechar that you get for letting go. What an amazing insight. People are so loath to let go of anything, you know? I can tell you, to cut out a paragraph of what you've written as an essay for your frameworks. No, I put in 3 weeks into that paragraph. It's painful. Alakas v'kama v'kama, you put in 20 years into knowing what this S means. You'll get sacha. Kach kibalti ala prisham. I see, Ari. I'll call you in a sec. Ah, Shabbat, Rabbi Akiva. Until Rabbi Akiva came and rescued the entire situation. Es Hashem Elokecha Tirah is Rabot Tamidei Chachamim. Incredibly, since the halacha is that the din of the Kovod Rabcha is the same as Kvod Shamayim, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered them to be Yehei Kvod Rabcha Beinecha Kvod Shamayim, so because of that, of course, who would you expect would be the one most sensitive to the inyan of kavod of Talmidei Chachamim is Rabbi Akiva, obviously, who just went through hell of those number of years and the loss of his Talmidim because of this issue. So he came to explain that in terms of the chiyuv, it's not in terms of the object. This is not, remember, it's a beautiful insight of Rabbi Akiva. Shimon HaAmsoni was talking about an extension of the object. Rabbi Akiva says it's an extension of the prepositional relationship to the object, not of the object. That's the point. You don't have to take away everything because you can't extend the object. Of course you can't extend the object. But since over here, et is always a preposition, and therefore it's defining your relationship to the object. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was medama, Kveid Rabcha, Lekveid Shamayim, so then it makes a great deal of sense. This is a preposition of your relationship to Kveid Shamayim, exactly. And we know that that's true from elsewhere. It's brilliant, you see. And because of that, it's a completely new understanding. It's not simply that he's giving like, oh, I can explain it away. It's not explaining away. It requires a redaction again of all of the esim that you did before to see how they're prepositionally different.
Yeah,